us in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Air.
Joe Martech.
Okay. There you go. You made it, Joe.
And Team Martech is here with Vince Rizzino, CPA, and Joe Martech, financial advisor, and the rest of the group, meaning Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and Ms. Victoria Lloyd Remax of Stewart, and Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and Greg Fasula, attorney, are not here. However, yes. Special guest star, Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, is here. And I was given a lecture just before the station chart started.
Uh-oh.
I asked our CPA a question. He says, Joe, I'm not going to tell you. Because if I tell you, you'll tell it, and you'll make me look dumb. And I said, well, Vince, you don't look that bright to start with.
Whoa!
Oh, my.
Now, that's a so-called friend of mine.
That's a so-called. That's the right way to phrase it. So tell me, what was the question you had?
Well,
Pastor Dave asked.
Some people are going to be interested to know about, with property damage,
right,
and tax write-offs or whatever.
Right. Well, the law allows you to write off casualty losses. That means, mm-hmm, that means the amount of the loss that you've incurred minus whatever recovery you got through insurance or flood insurance or whatever insurance, and then it's subject to a 10% of your adjusted gross income. So you have, that's the threshold over which you must go to get a deduction.
So if you had, let's say, a $5,000 wind deductible and you got $100,000 worth of damage, just say it, so that covers 95, you lost five, take 10% of that off?
No. The 5,000 is your loss. How much is deductible? Take all your other income, adjusted,
right,
gross, 10%. Let's say you made 100,000 last year combined.
Okay.
First 10,000 of that casualty loss, you wouldn't be able to deduct.
Would not. So if you made 50 grand,
the
10% would be five grand, you still couldn't.
Correct.
Oh,
now, what happens in these cases is sometimes they give you a chance to go back and take that casualty loss in back years. It hasn't happened yet because it's too soon after the storm. IRS hasn't come out with their guideline
yet.
Right. But sometimes they let you go back and carry the loss backwards. Normally they don't. But they allow you to claim the loss in a back year.
So I had an interesting phone call today from a lady listener who had never called in before. She called the office. She probably got the number from here, from Pastor Dave or Tom or Karen or whoever took the phone. And she said she's referred lots and lots of people, told them to listen to the show because what she learned. But she had a question. You know, Vince, here it is. Here we got three, four, five old guys in this place. And
some older than others.
Some older than others. Some look much older than others. I wouldn't say who. But why am I looking at Alan? I don't know why. Anyway, Alan.
Come on, leave him alone.
Are you still awake?
Yes.
Good. This is impressive. Now, Dave said he might fall asleep. So what we might have to do is whistle in his ear on if he does nod off. Because he's got an excuse that he's been working in the yard picking up stuff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Well, yeah.
That's an excuse.
That's a good excuse.
Yeah.
So you know, we've moved us, old guys. We've moved muscles we haven't moved in years.
That's what I was saying earlier. The head says, hey, no problem. The body says, we don't care what you think.
Right? You want us to do what?
So here comes the question. She said she has a defined benefit program, a retirement program. Now, Vince, there's all kinds of names, right, for these retirement programs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's 401k, sometimes it's a simple IRA.
457s, 453Bs.
They got all kinds of names.
They're all kind of numbers.
Well, but here comes what happens. If we have, let's say, a traditional IRA, And you take a distribution from that, and you're under 59 and one half, you pay a penalty, right?
Right.
Plus the tax.
Right.
Now, if you have a 401k, sometimes it depends on the charter, but most of the charters that I've seen allow you to borrow money
yep.
when you're under 59 and a half.
It's funny you brought that up, because the IRS came out with an announcement this morning that said those that were victims of the storm, this is another
right.
IRS thing, you were able to you'll be able to take money, borrow against these 401ks and retirement programs, and under a hardship distribution.
Hmm. And what's that mean, hardship distribution?
That means you won't be subject to a penalty. You still have income taxes due on the money.
Now,
that,
what
if you don't borrow it, if you withdraw. If you borrow, then you can borrow, and then there's no issue there.
What I suggested to her was to get a hold of her people, and it was interesting that you say that the IRS came out. She said, call back in an hour or so. The IRS is supposed to come up with a ruling.
Exactly.
So the ruling, can you explain what it is?
Well, what it means is that normally... normally, you can't withdraw money
right.
other than borrow. For
right.
like an IRA, for example, you can't withdraw without a penalty, 59 and a half,
right.
or some special reason.
Right.
Under these circumstances, they're going to let you, you know, essentially take the money out without a penalty, so that it covers your cost of cleanup,
whatever,
and recovery, or whatever you're using the money for. So there's no penalty involved, but there is income taxes.
It will be
on
subject.
An IRA. It will be subject to income taxes. Now, on a 401k, Joe, you don't have to take any distributions. You could borrow, assuming your plan allows you to borrow.
Assuming it does.
It would allow you to borrow under what they call a hardship scenario.
Okay, so now, but you can normally borrow under a 401k regardless whether
yes,
it's hardship. Now,
could you?
I don't know the answer to this one. Can you imagine that?
Nah, can't.
This baffles me. But my understanding, and maybe any one of the, okay, you can jump in.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
Even though I'm the dumbest and the ugliest one here.
But only on that side of the table.
I see. I got it.
Question is this: I don't know what the regs are. Does every 401k have different rules as far as paying it back, the length of time, the interest rate?
No, usually they're guided by the IRS. Like, you got 5 years to pay back.
Five years. Now, does it have to be in equal installments, or do you have just a
no? You could do it any time and
any amount
over the 5 years. But once the 5 years is up, you haven't paid whatever balance is left.
It's ordinary income.
It's ordinary income to you.
So, and do they have a fixed interest rate?
That depends on the plan. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. That's really good to know, because people listening right now that might have a 401k or another defined benefit retirement plan, especially with the IRS being helpful now, you might be able to borrow money against that and not pay it back for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. And
there's something else I want to tell you, Joe, before I forget. There are other benefits for the IRS is given to people who are victims of the storm, and it has to be. Unfortunately, Martin County is not on this list.
Yet.
Mm.
Naturally.
There are many counties in Florida, including Broward, Charlotte, Clay, Collier, Duval, Flagler, Lee, Manatee, Miami-Dade, Monroe, Palm Beach, Pinellas, Putnam. These counties that were declared disasters,
right.
The IRS is allowing you extended period of time to file corporate tax returns, because a lot of corporate returns due on September 15th.
Right, right.
In partnerships,
gonna give them some time.
LLCs, they're going to give them a little more time. And also estimated tax payments that due on the 15th, all
right.
the people that were affected, they'll have more time, I think up until even January, to make the payment.
Nice, mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's these things going on. So they should check either the IRS website to be sure, because it'll be all laid out under news. Go under the news section of the irs.gov, and it'll tell you everything that you need to know.
Or worse, you can do is actually call the radio station.
Or call the radio station, or speak to your own accountant and CPA, mm-hmm. and they'll help you too.
1-888-221-8990. Now, class, you're supposed to have that number sitting next to your phone. Unless you're driving your car, then disregard this. But 1-888, this is toll-free from any place, 221-8990. Now is a good time to, Vince Rosino, CPA, is here, and there's a whole bunch of people I know that are going to need some money to get through this, mm-hmm. and if they have these retirement plans. Now, here comes another question. I know on a traditional IRA, you cannot borrow against it.
You can borrow it, but you can ask that. This is where the hardship distribution
comes. They'll let you take it
under certain circumstances without a penalty.
Okay.
Still subject to tax, and that's what I'm
talking
about.
But it'll be subject to tax. Okay. Now, you got 60 days to pay the money back on a traditional IRA. If you take money out today, you got 60 days to put it back in. No tax, no penalty, no nothing.
Correct.
But if it's 61 days,
That's, plus, most people now, I guess, you know, you don't have the money in the first place. You're borrowing it to fix up, maybe in advance of your insurance, maybe, or maybe you don't have insurance.
Well, if you had a $5,000 wind deductible.
That's $5,000 out of your
pocket. That's a lot of money. Exactly. Not everybody has that sitting around in cash, and they might have it in their 401k or someplace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, a lot of the wind damage deductibles are percentage of the house value. So if it's a 2%, 3%, 4%, some are 5%. And think about this. If you've got decent money and you got $1 million house, you might say, hey, I'll take a $5,000 deductible and take a risk. But if
you're when you have to pay, it hurts.
Yeah, but now that's $50,000 that is not going to be covered in case of a total loss. And on the wind deductible, and I wish Dan was here, I don't know if that money comes out first. I bet it does. I bet you if you had a $200,000 house with a $100,000 loss and with a 5% deductible, that's $10,000. I bet you the first 10 you got to pay, even if it's a $100,000 loss.
I
don't think it prorates.
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that. That's his bailiwick.
I'm reasonably sure that's the way
the pivotal
it works.
Question, I think you raised it the last time, is if you're going to be rebuilding, is the replacement cost coverage? You have to check your policy.
Exactly. Not all of them are replacement.
No.
Now, if you have a homeowner's form, HO3, homeowner's form, which almost everybody does that has a homeowner. Now, you're not a rental property. This is your homestead. Almost all of them are replacement costs. The form is standard in the industry. You may not have it if you have a house that doesn't fit anybody's criteria and you want lesser coverage and you're willing to take more risk. Sometimes you get into a special risk category. But normally, the wind deductible is the biggie. And then flood insurance is a federal program. That's a different program altogether.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take a call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
My call is going to be in and out because I just still can't get the telephone together. But I have a quick question. I was just getting in my car to work, and I got a phone call from the gatehouse saying that the insurance contract that my homeowner's and tires to go and take pictures of the property. And so I was told that he was on he wanted to get through the gate. But I was just wondering, I renewed my insurance on the 23rd of August. He had called, I think, about a week ago to say that he was going to take pictures. Now, I know that it's probably a normal.
We're losing you. You're breaking up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can do it now.
I was wondering what wait until after the hurricane to come out and take pictures? I know that you wouldn't know, but do you know typically why they would do that?
Well, they would probably want pictures on a renewal to see your house. Here's what it's called underwriting. Underwriters say, hey, we want to insure your house, but we want to make sure it's in good condition, so would you send us a picture or two, and they want you to do that. Now, after the hurricane, if you haven't taken those pictures before because of timing, they sure can't do it. And now you take pictures of what is, but they should send out an adjuster at this point. Your homeowner's insurance, you talk to your agent, and if you can get through to them and just say, I've got losses. I need to file a claim. What do I do? And sometimes an adjuster will come right out to the house. Sometimes you have to go online, but every company is a little bit different. But the key is this. Call your agent and find out what your next step is. But I wouldn't be overly concerned about taking pictures at this point, except if you have losses. And you want to document them for yourself, because if the adjuster doesn't come out for a week or two, you don't want to let your house just sit and fall apart. And you also have a legal responsibility to maintain your property and not let it deteriorate. So the key thing is this: call your agent or the company directly and get their advice on what you should do. And don't just listen to me, but that's number one. Call your company, call your agent, get them, tell exactly what you said to us, have them tell you what to do. Did I lose you, or are you still there? Well,
it looks like it. Well, she's coming back.
Are you still there? Kind of, maybe. No?
Nope. I guess we're done with
I guess hopefully you heard us on the radio, but the bottom line is, anybody that had a loss, call your agent and find out what to do. And if you don't have an agent, there should be an 800 number attached to your policy or online where you can call any company, and everybody I know in that business will help you. I mean, nobody is out not to, and they're going to be a bit busy right now, but still they will help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
My wife works in the insurance industry, and I was under orders from her before the storm hit to take pictures with my phone of every angle in the house,
inside
every
and
room
out.
In the mm-hmm. inside yeah. and yeah. outside. I did outside as well, because that's dated.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know that you, I don't have the
we
ability
did the same
to mess
thing.
That.
It's anticlimactic now. If you hadn't done it, like her agent said to do that, and she didn't.
Yeah.
You know, those pictures won't do you any good, like you said, once they're dated.
Right, but it doesn't take but about 10 minutes to do it if you do it quarterly.
Yeah,
all
you have to
do. Get up-to-date photos.
Hey.
It's interesting. Now, August 23rd, she said she took the policy out.
Yeah.
Why would they be coming now? I would think they would have taken pictures before the storm hit.
Well, you know what happens is they would write it based on the information is there. But underwriting might come back and say, hey, let's just check the risk to make sure we're on it. Because the insurance company can say, if you misrepresented the risk, they can give you your money back.
They can back you out. Right. Okay, they could just say, here's your money back.
Here's your money back.
You're not covered.
You're done. You're not covered. So if you had a loss between those two dates, you were covered when they bound it. But I forget, there's two kinds of underwriting. There's advanced underwriting, and then there's after an occurrence underwriting, which some companies do, which is very scary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to health insurance, because if you misrepresented and they issued the policy and they've got a couple of years to catch you and give you your money back and not cover you. So
that's right.
And I've told everybody I talk to when it comes to making a health insurance application, do not lie under any circumstances, because all of this stuff, you sign documents that they're going to check everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're going
to
check.
You don't want to give them an excuse to deny you. There's this contestability clause that you're referring to. And I think it's mostly with health insurance. I mean, life insurance.
Life
I don't
insurance.
Know about the health insurance. It's probably the same thing.
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
So if you're going to kill yourself, you got to wait 2 years and a day.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're going to, if you're gonna, not going to make any.
I know.
No.
But you know, it's just the rules.
Yeah.
It's the rules.
I guess they figured if you last 2 years after the policy is issued. Not playing games, you know.
No,
it's not
if you've got that kind of discipline, hey, so be it. The company lost, and that's just it. I know. Isn't that weird?
Two years and a day. And there you go.
It's not only an insurance problem. If you sign a document with false information, you may subject yourself to a criminal penalty.
Yeah,
fraud.
Yeah.
So you know, it's nothing to take lightly.
Well, you know, a lot of people take these chances. Like I know a fellow personally that claimed a homestead in two different states. You can't do that.
I do too.
And you
New York in particular.
Well, it was.
Yeah, they had two homesteads.
So he
and
got
they caught.
Caught
him eventually.
Oh yeah, he got caught. Now let me tell you, they prosecuted him.
They should.
And you know, he was
a fraud.
Hey, but you talk about fraud. And they said, no, you know, we're going to hang your butt, because he lied and continued to lie. And anyway, he was not what you call a cooperative. Got caught, you guy. So the coyness is, most of these things today have a whole bunch of extremely bright people back behind it. And with the power of technology today, there is not much that they cannot find out. So you just have to be careful.
You have to go to a background check, Joe.
Yeah.
What they come up with is amazing to me.
Well,
how many relatives, potential relatives, people you may have known in the past?
Listen, they used to call it a retail credit report. That was the word. It had nothing to do with credit. But literally, let's say you wanted $1 million life insurance policy. Okay, so they take it. The underwriters say, hey, it looks healthy. Everything is good. So now they go knocking on the doors of your neighbors to find out if you're a pedophile or a wife beater or who knows what.
Yeah.
I mean, you sign a document allowing people to do all this stuff. 90% of the people don't pay attention to that because it's just one of 20 pages you have to sign. But the whole concept is insurance companies don't like losing on purpose.
Mm. Of course.
You know, and I know we had a caller, a guy was complaining about insurance companies not covering certain things, and it was called, well, did you buy insurance to cover that? No. Well, then, well, why don't they cover it anyway?
That's like, you know, the guy has major surgery, and he's back at the doctor. Said, Doc, can I play golf now? And he says, well, did you ever play golf before? No.
Exactly. 1-888-221-8990. So those of you with claims, the very best thing to do, honestly, is call your agent. And if you have a problem with an agent, call the company directly. Most of them have 800 numbers, and they may just say they'll call you back, and they will.
They're very good.
Everybody's about it. And this is a major, 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 major disaster, and there's going to be lots and lots of claims. And
especially down south. And the West Coast.
And West Coast.
Yeah. West Coast, forget it.
Yeah, Southwest and all the Keys, just absolute disaster.
I was surprised to hear even in Martin County at the beginning, right after the storm passed, that like 75-80% of the houses were without power.
It's amazing how many people lost electricity. There's 7 million people that lost electricity in Florida. I mean, it was just a monster number.
A lot of people. My daughter's still without electricity. No water, no electric. She's in Cape Coral.
Yeah. Well, now they went to a shelter, right?
They did.
Are they still there? Or they?
Oh, no. They spent one night there, and they took off.
Well, it's not fun.
Not when, I mean, the storm was over. They just... The daylight hit the next day, they were gone.
Well, you know, but now they got to stay in a house with the
sweat. Well, my, you know, they're with me now. With my wife.
Oh, they got smart eventually.
Yeah. So I got my grandson, and he's running, keeping us busy.
I know when I was talking to Barb, and you said, Joanne says, hey, we're going to go over there. And Barb says, why? You've got the stuff. Have the kids come over here. Oh, the kids don't want to, so we're going to go over there. Well, and then you didn't go anyway.
No, I didn't go. Because the plane, if you remember, for 2 days there, we were flip-flopping.
Yeah.
It was going this way. Yeah. The storm's going that way. And, you know, everybody's making plans based on the direction it was going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it kept changing. So we waited till the end and made our decision. But their window closed. And when they made the decision they weren't coming here, the window closed, they were done. They were over there.
May I just interject?
You're going to anyway.
Well, I'm going to anyway. I'm running the board. See,
He's running the show. You're the producer running the show. You were at your mercy, technically.
Just, I don't know if we talked about this earlier, but because this is kind of a service educational program, I remember in 2004 when we had some roof damage after
Francis and Jean, I think.
And, you know, there was so much disaster in Florida. You had contractors coming in from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were great.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them were
absolute frauds.
Absolute frauds.
Yeah.
And just to remember, because right now our listening area includes some of the heavier damage places.
Right.
And some of these people are going to come down, and you really need to check with their – they have to all be licensed in Florida.
Right.
And there's a – Florida's big on licensing. I think it's the agriculture –
Department of Agriculture.
Department of Agriculture probably has something
Department
up on their
Professional
website.
Professional Services. Any DPS. Kind of licensing can be checked out online, technically. Now, even if a person has a license in their possession, don't necessarily believe that. You can go up online, the Florida Department of Professional Services, Florida.gov. I mean, there's different sites that'll lead you into these things once you get to it. I haven't done it for a while, but you can find out. If you have a real problem finding out, you call the Better Business Bureau. But quite honestly, that to me is not as credible as the state of Florida showing you have a current license and what that license is for. And that's the big deal.
You go to the Florida DOR, FLDOR, you'll get there. It's the Department of Business and Professional Licensing.
That's right.
And you can check on the license of anybody who's got a license.
And there's numbers to call if you have questions. And some of the websites even have online chat. You can chat with a live person.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether they have it on that particular line. But
Florida, I don't think, does. But Florida.gov, that's the best, easy way to get started. And that can lead you
to other things. Yeah, it'll lead you to that
other sites.
Department of
Take care. Don't accept someone's word.
No. And even if they have a license in their hand, that could be a phony document. I mean, listen, if I'm going to be a crook, I want to look as legitimate as possible.
Exactly.
So
it's easy to do these days.
Oh, boy.
You got these high-quality printers. They can print anything.
Man.
You know, I had people, that, you know, when they in my industry and in yours, Vince, so people say, Joe, what licenses do you have? And I tell them, I'm loaded with licenses. And they said, are you a certified financial planner? And I said, no, I am what's called a securities principal. This is another very, very similar license that allows me to regulate and supervise, and I could technically have the credentials to run Merrill Lynch. Not that they're going to hire me, but not that I want the job either. Well, wait a minute.
Just no,
for a short, crazy. For a short time.
You get a call this
afternoon. The price is
I might
right,
have to
Joe,
work. I might have to show up for work a bit. You know,
but you'd have to give up on the show.
At that, too.
It would be terrible. Yeah.
This would be terrible. But anyway, what happens is Bernie Madoff, you know, he was a certified financial planner.
He was?
Yeah.
And he made off with everybody's
money. He made
money.
Off with everybody's money. But I'm trying to say, credentials all by themselves are not necessarily what you see. You right. have to know somebody and check them out and ask for referrals, ask for references.
That's right.
Nothing like referrals. But, you know, let's be honest. The guy or woman that gives you the referral is not going to give you a bad one.
No, you're not going to show them. But the other side of the coin is, and I look at our group, we started doing these radio shows in 04. When I look at how long everybody's been in business, and it to me is another big criteria, when you take somebody who's been in business in Florida for at least 5 years, that counts points to me because people come and go rapidly. When you take somebody that graduated from a university in New York in 1901, and he's still alive, isn't Vince that me? I'm getting close, aren't I?
Yeah, well, you're a few years off. A
few years off.
1901. That means I was born in 1880.
You know, well, you look pretty good for your age.
Yes, yeah, I do. Yeah. I keep myself well. My wife takes care of me.
I look for these credentials and time in business, and you know that counts big points. So when we started putting our group together back in. Well, I don't know when exactly, but I know Greg Fasula, was over 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. You know, so we in putting our group together, and by the way, for those of you that don't know, none of us share office space. None of us are in charge of each other. None of us share commissions or fees or anything. My game plan of starting doing this years and years ago was to find local professionals that, in my not too humble opinion, were top of their game. And the best people, in my opinion, again, usually don't work for somebody else. They work for themselves. They may start it off working for somebody, but then they become independent if they're in the top of their game. So Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, 37 years in business, probably over pushing 100 companies under his umbrella. You don't get that without many, many, many years in business and extreme integrity, because people won't keep renewing and stay with you if you don't treat them properly.
Absolutely.
You know,
reputation's everything, Joe.
It is everything. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. She's been in real estate since 1978. She's rated as one of the top 100 real estate agents for Remax in the world. Mike Paulus, 27 or 28 years in the mortgage business. You know, and right here in Palm City. And Mike has just done a staggeringly good job for people. Vince Rosino, CPA, used to be a college professor.
But not at Columbia.
But he also is a forensic. And, you know, that designation doesn't come easy. Forensic means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness, and he's allowed to testify either for or against because of his credentials. Joe Martek, financial advisor. Started getting licensed in 92. Got all my licenses, I think, by 96 or 7. Because there's multiple, you know, how many licenses you have to get in order to do what we have to do. And now it's just a matter of passing continuing education courses constantly.
Thank you.
To know.
Thanks for reminding me. I have another 8 credits to go.
I mean, it's
you know, 40 hours a year I have to go through.
I have no idea how many I take. I keep my compliance people say, hey, you've got 2 more courses to take. You got this. Go on to your compliance thing. And there they are. It's 2 more. And I thought I'd just finish those. Well,
but I learned so much from those things. So a lot of people just do them just take up space and get the credits, but actually work it.
Well, yeah.
Because I find it's informative, keeps you current, keeps your brain working, your body betrays you.
That's also a test, because if you can pass all these, even though your body looks terrible, your head has to stay good in your business.
That's absolutely right.
You know, and that's the main thing.
If, you know, if you atrophy and you become nothing but a brain, I could still work.
Well, Vince.
No, we're talking about pasture. No, never
Vince
mind.
Has a glow from the neck up. I wanted you to know that.
Oh, do I?
Believe, yeah.
Is that high blood pressure?
Your brain's in good shape. No.
Your brain's in good shape.
I'm wondering where the hell the glow came from. The Lord's coming in.
888-221-8990. Any questions to do with the storm? Now's a good time. Anything to do with taxes? Well, I'll tell you. Like Vince just found out today, the government has given people a break that may have 401ks or other retirement plans that they wouldn't have had if it wasn't a storm. There's different rules that you need to know about. 1-888-221-8990.
Joe, I'd like to speak for a few minutes to a segment of our audience. Those people who are independent and are getting up in years, like myself, and also those people that might have health issues. As many of you know, in the WCNO audience, I have a mild case of cerebral palsy. And with the Hurricane Irma, this was my first real rodeo as far as the hurricane was concerned. And I believe I learned some valuable lessons, and I'd like to just impart a little bit of what I learned. And the key thing I learned is when a storm is coming of that magnitude or near that magnitude, don't wait to do things, because you're not going to be able to, especially if you're slower, you have physical problems. Two quick examples. When I was looking for a hotel out of the area, none were available. When I wanted to get an airline flight to another city, and a flight was found to go to family, after I typed in the information, probably because of my slowness in doing it, by the time I got everything typed in, the plane was full. So I could not get out of here. So here's a few tips that I would give you. Number one, have an infrastructure in place now for the next time. In other words, pick, if you don't have family, if you don't have friends that you can go to, pick a city that has an infrastructure that will help you. You know, a good climate, out of the hurricane zone, easy to travel to, check out. If you drive, check out car rentals, check out the bus transportation in the city, Uber or Lyft. Do all that now. Pick a city where you're going to be comfortable, because of the fact you don't know whether you're going to be able to come back to your house, or whether you're not going to have power for a few weeks, or whether your house is going to be irreparable and you're going to have to look for another house. Another thing is check your airline flights now. Find out what their schedule is to the city that you pick. A third thing is find out how you're going to get to the airport. Obviously, under the circumstances, you could not go to West Palm or Miami airport in this storm, but Orlando was open.
Yep.
So check all three of those airports and see what their flights are. Also, Southwest, for one, allows you to change and cancel flights. They don't give you your money back, but you have a future credit. So even if you don't use the fare for a hurricane, you've got a trip to go to within a year. And if you've never been to that city, or you've been there and want to go back, so you have a little vacation. You'd rather have a vacation than a hurricane, I would think. And yep. Also, check on health grades, healthgrades.org, about doctors and hospitals in the city that you pick. Maybe even develop a relationship by calling a doctor's office and saying, can I speak with this doctor? I'd like to maybe send him or her my medical records in case I have to leave Florida and I don't know when you're coming
back.
What's
that site you just said?
healthgrades.org.
Health.
The word health, then grades, grades.org.
Okay.
You can you rate your doctors and hospitals. When I was down here and knew, I went on that site. I found a doctor who was rated 5 stars, and I'm very happy I did. And
that's good information.
That's very good. And, it's very good advice.
And also, in your ability to, when you travel, put some food in a bag and take on the plane. That that will fill you up. And because even if you go to a place in the city, you may be tired. I know when I get tired, I get very listless and very spastic. So your physical condition may not be what it normally is because of all the stressful travel and stress of the storm. Also, I would suggest packing a small suitcase just so you don't have to pack everything at once. Store it away. That's your emergency travel that's already done.
Bug out bag.
And I'm sure all of you have other tips and ideas that you might be able to share. We should go online and talk to each other, have a discussion about that. And locally, know your emergency resources. As a matter of fact, I talked with people at the fire station right near where we live to find out what we could do in an emergency. They got to know us a little bit. They knew our circumstances. It's very important because, as Governor Scott kept on saying for days, you can replace your property, but you can't replace your life.
1-888-221-8990. The word is preparedness. You know, and a lot of people get list. I was complaining a little bit about our media today, where a whole bunch of the media kind of dramatizes or maybe over-dramatizes certain occurrences, and it kind of leads you into a false sense of security, thinking, you can't trust them. But this was a humdinger blinger, and there's a whole bunch of people, luckily not where we are, but other parts of this state and this globe, that obviously had wished they were better prepared.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a tendency, you know, it's almost a letdown. You know, you prepare so hard and so long before.
Yeah.
And then the thing passes you by. It should thank the Lord it didn't hit you, right?
Absolutely.
But on the other side, you're saying, man, all that work,
and then nothing happened.
And nothing happened.
It's I just thank God every day my boat didn't sink.
Yeah, really. Oh, I'm just happy we all survived it.
Hey, I'll tell you, we got very lucky here. Pastor Tom went up to Georgia so he could get rained on heavy duty in Atlanta.
Yeah,
but it was like being at home.
You know,
we get that rain all the time down here.
Yeah.
You know,
1-888-221-8990.
And just so you know that I'm not taking advantage. My soliloquy was less than half a Billy Bigelow soliloquy in the musical Carousel.
Okay.
All right.
A lot of this
information there.
I'm very impressed.
This is, yeah.
Now, Alan, that was, you never.
First of all, I don't even know what a soliloquy is.
That's when an attorney gets overly loquacious.
Loquacious.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, gosh.
Is that when you imbibe, when you're loquacious?
This is an educational program.
Were you into a symbiotic relationship with something that we don't know about?
Okay. Wow. Education's going all over the place.
It is. You know, now we just need a thesaurus so we know what we're talking about.
Exactly. Really. We need to get a dinosaurus. Now, Alan, you said something that's it really struck me as very, very important bit of information about Southwest Airlines. I think that's a good investment, as you say. If you wind up not using it.
What's that?
You can book a flight out to your favorite city.
Yeah.
And if you don't have to use it, you get a credit. You
well, not every airline does that, though, right?
No.
Southwest.
But you know, that's why I mentioned Southwest, because of the fact that I was probably within 10 seconds of having the flight. As it turns out, at least in the area around here, we wouldn't have needed it. But why risk it? Especially
because,
you know, for one thing, emergency personnel that would normally help you by calling 911, if they can't get to you, how are they going to help you?
Yeah,
they can.
That's a fact. Yeah, and you know, and I think what you hit, well, and was a thing too. Some people have more needs than others, and it pays to be more prepared. And I'm not saying that everybody doesn't have them, but I often, when I'm listening to a whole bunch of people that are, let's say, poor, they can't afford to leave.
Right.
If you can't afford to leave, you best know where your shelters are. Yeah. And which ones will accept. And if you have animals, you need to know this stuff ahead of time. I mean, I had clients of mine that said, well, we went and got our, our cat rabies shot because they wouldn't take us in the shelter, but now they won't take the cat at all. Mm-hmm. Point is, these things, if you wait till it's too late, all of a sudden, you know, a real, real disaster can hit. So,
well, for me, Joe, for me, I'm just proud of our governor. I think he did an excellent job. And all the professional people that are around, the FEMA workers, everybody, I think the thing went flawlessly from the communications point of view. There's problems around. But if you look at his, even the governor, he was on the air every couple of hours. He was doing a conference somewhere. Yeah. So I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, and you know, the government for the one time was not arguing with each other. They all jumped in and said, we need to take care of our people. Let's just get it done with. And
well, he brought the National Guard in. Also, he had tankers coming in with the gasoline.
Yeah.
So I think they did a very good job.
Yeah, Pastor Tom had a wonderful story there about.
He did.
He was up in Georgia and trying to get gas and couldn't get any. And he ended up with a deputy sheriff loaned him $40. To get gas because they wouldn't take a credit card or a debit card, and he had $11 to his name so he could get gas. And you know, that was just something. Sometimes people go above and beyond the call of duty, and it's such a wonderful thing to hear, you know, when you get a good story. And they couldn't have picked a better person to loan money to than Pastor Tom. Pastor Tom ended up not only sending the money back but sending a gift card for a good chunk of money back. And that's what you should do.
I think that's a good response. And as God's grace moved through all of that, I mean,
yes,
you know, we saw that in bits all over the place.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And we keep looking. You know, the aftermath is almost worse than the storm itself.
There's a lot of
and it's going to be when they finally figure out the Keys. Yeah. You know, the thing that scares me most about the damage down in the Keys is how many people whose lives might have been lost that they don't know about yet.
Yeah.
Because they can't get in. There's no infrastructure. The roads are closed. There's no electricity. There's no water. There's no communication. No cell phones. No nothing. And that Keys, a big flat rock. You know, they were talking Big Pine Key, which is one of my favorite places to go every year for lobster diving.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big Pine Key has all the little deer that are the size of German shepherds. And first rumor came out saying all the Keys deer were killed. Well, then they had it on TV showing them running down the middle of US-1, which made me feel good.
Yeah,
you know that some of them didn't die. But hey, you know.
But you talk of the good things that come out, Joe. Talk about your neighbors, right?
Yeah.
So you know, I'm not known for my mechanical prowess, right?
Oh, you're kidding.
So I'm out there with my generator, and I'm starting the thing up, make sure it works. And so my neighbor across the street was just been in the neighborhood about a year. And I didn't know him. I wave at him. I go by. So I'm sitting there working on the thing. He comes over across the street and he says to me, I just bought this generator. I don't know how to use it. I said, could you help me? So I said, sure, of course. I stuffed everything. Went down, showed him, you know, to turn the valve, the fuel gauge, and, you know, put the fuel here and do it, plug in the
gas. Yeah.
So I showed him, saying to myself, wow. I know a lot more than I think, right? So I got the guy working. He was so ecstatic that I helped him, and he thanked me profusely. Yeah. Said, "If there's anything I can do for you, let me know." There's a guy we just kind of waved at each other, and now I know his first name. He knows mine,
and I think
it'll be a totally different relationship going forward.
Well, you know,
people come together in disasters.
And literally, it does. Foes can become friends. Mm-hmm. Real quick, when you get into that symbiotic relationship, and I mean, that's it. My neighbor across the street just bought the place and brought his boat in. Of course, you know me, but we met each other because of the storm. You know, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So good things come out of bad situations.
Yeah. You know, and we all know this. There's more good people than there are bad people. And there's a lot of people that'll help people, and they go out of their way to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a thing in the newspaper about two young men, actually three young men that I know personally, that the newspaper, they basically let it be known that they're out there to help anybody put up shutters. Mm-hmm. Now, these are young guys, good and strong, and they could do it. And when I think about the media, that doesn't always make me happy, but it was something nice to see in the newspaper for a change about people helping people rather than people stealing from people. You know, it was just kind of a nice piece of news.
How did your son make out, Joe? I meant to ask you.
Pardon me?
How'd your son make out? Did he do okay with the storm?
Well, he's fine physically. They closed the Keys and his lot of stuff down there, and he went too late to get stuff. So he's got three boats sitting down there that may be history. And he has all kinds of stuff stored in a storage locker because of his health. You know, mm-hmm, he had to move. Mm-hmm. Well, that stuff might all be destroyed too. Mm. So we just don't know, and he doesn't know because he can't get in. The keys are closed. They will open them a little bit, but he's down in Marathon, and Marathon took a pretty big hit. We just don't know. You know, it's one of those things that it's not good no matter what comes out of it, but it's a big disaster.
Well, I'm glad he's safe.
Yep. One, he's up in St. Pete near my daughter, near his sister, and that's the good news. And his health is improving, even though he's got a long road to hoe. R-O-W, right? I got to be careful there.
Well, you can row a hoe.
You can row to hoe, too. 1-888-221-8990. So just let you know again, our group, those that are faithful listeners in the thing, we've got Vince Rosino, CPA, not only a CPA, but a forensic CPA. Joe Martek, financial advisor. Greg Fasula, attorney. Let me toot Greg's horn just a little bit. When I started meeting attorneys many, many years ago to try to help my clients, what I would normally do was go meet a new client or prospect and talk about a will or a trust, and if they didn't have such a thing, I'd say, let me help you with that. I'll counsel you ahead of time, get you ready to go to see the attorney, and let's go see if we can find an attorney for you. And if we can find an attorney that's nearby, I'll go with you and make sure, because a lot of people are intimidated by attorney. Well, let me just tell you, oftentimes attorneys can be very, very nice to you on a professional level, but all of a sudden when that customer comes in, that client comes in, they get a little pretentious on occasion. Can you imagine that happening?
Testy. Yeah, a little pretentious. Testy.
A know-it-all, you know, attitude. Well, when I met Greg Fasula, he was a good listener. He was patient, understanding, not arrogant, not pretentious. And I've often said to Greg, I said, did they teach you that in law school? And he goes, no. And Greg is not expensive. Now, he hates it when I say that because attorneys get paid by the hour, but Greg is not a
person. Some of them bought a pound.
Boy, well, how many times have we seen these great, big, thick documents that, like you might say, paid by the pound? And it's sad because it's all fluff, or most of it. It's not necessary. So the relationship that we've developed over the years was one on Greg does only the right thing for people. If he cannot physically do it, he's not one of these attorneys that'll take your money and go learn it at your expense. He'll say, I don't do that. And he'll try to find you an attorney that he knows and trusts to help you.
Yeah, so it's just referrals. It's very important.
And that's just the way it is. So... When I started putting the group together was to try to find user friendly, but also most importantly, and if Dan was here, he'd be bringing that up, is competency. You've got to have people that know what they're talking about. If I recommended somebody that didn't do the right thing for my client, boy, that's going to come back to me in spades, and I sure don't want that. So, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, I don't think there's a better. Greg Fasula, attorney, hey, one of the probably the only attorney I know personally I'd like to have is a next door neighbor. He's just a flat good guy. Vince, hey, you and I, we play and goof around and carry on, but Vince is a good bud. His wife and his family, I mean, this is a great relationship. And Vince is another one. He's going to tell you straight out what it's at. You're not one to mince too many words.
No,
especially with me.
That's right. I don't mince at all.
No. Let me take this caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm just calling because I just wanted to share one small tip about this whole hurricane emergency situation. It was my first hurricane, and it was a little overwhelming.
Go ahead.
What I did take away from this was we shouldn't put all our eggs in one basket. I packed a duffel bag of food, and I packed a duffel bag of clothes, and then another one with just emergency items. And I realized through the whole chaos, at one point I had kind of misplaced one of my bags, and then I kind of freaked out because I was like, well, what bag was that? And I just thought to myself, you know what? Next time I'm going to just divvy up all items in three separate bags if I have to.
I think you know what you're saying is this is preparedness, and that's what those of us that have lived in Florida for a long, long time have gone through lots of storms, and I take preparedness as a second nature. I know exactly where I'm going to go, how much water I've got. I know how much fuel I've got in the cars, how much fuel for the boats, all the things that we hear constantly being taught to us. But a lot of people just don't pay attention to that until it's too late. I said a lot of people don't pay attention to their preparedness until it's too late. So what you're saying is exactly right. Be prepared. Get yourself organized. And don't wait until the last minute to do it.
And don't put all of the similar articles in one bag.
Because
if you lose it, you've lost everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was prepared. I do have to say, you know, the news were very good and preparing us, I guess, many days before. But I didn't really think about, you know, I kind of, like I said, I put everything in individual bags and at one point when I misplaced one of my bags, that's when it dawned on me that we shouldn't put all our items in one bag. And the bag that I thought I misplaced happened to have my batteries and my flashlight and all the stuff that I would have needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know,
so
in fact,
I just thought I'd share that maybe a bag should have, you know, all three items, you know.
A little of everything.
Kind of like your hurricane bag, right? Yeah, exactly. You're right. Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's very good advice.
Yep.
Excellent advice.
Well, this
commonsensical, but people don't think of it.
Well, it dovetails with a lot of Joe's advice about diversification.
Yes, it absolutely does.
Of your investments.
That's a good analogy because I think it's perfect.
Way to go, Pastor Dave.
Hey, I listen every now and then.
Well, you know, there's and Alan and I, we go back and forth on this too because Alan at one time was a financial advisor also. I think after he got tired of being a prosecuting attorney, he started working with people on their finances and his own. And he and I share stories every once in a while. And we have our ideas and we don't always agree on everything. But it's an education format back and forth. But one of the things that I look for people, my job is to educate people. There's 30,000 different investments out there. I mean, there's more, it's overwhelming to put it mildly. There's all kinds of different things. The main situation is, if you don't know what you've got, it's easy enough to find out. You find out somebody like me, I'll go through and I'll look at what you've got. In fact, I have people that I've never met that have sent me stuff on the mail, faxed me, emailed me, and I send them back and tell them what they've got and what my opinion is. And I don't charge for that. The concept is if their goal is X, but they're working on Y instead of X, we need to change the strategy. So many types of investments, many types of investments. We talked about it this morning on the show that the market by most people's estimations is at least full. Why is it full? Well, when we look at the Dow and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, these are the gauges that we hear about every day, and the numbers are extremely high. It's 22,000 for the Dow. Now, what does that mean? Well, what happens is when the economy is doing well and everybody's starting to get happy and employment is good, people are getting euphoric and they're buying stocks and they're buying mutual funds and they're investing in things. And a lot of times they don't know what they are, but very often by the time they get into these things, they may have made a bad decision. They should not have gotten into them because maybe the bubble, the roller coaster is at the top, and to get in when it's at the top might be a little bit too late.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's different strategies to look at, and it depends on the person and their time frame. Like when I look at somebody, if they're 70, 75, 80 years old, let me tell you, you don't know how much time you've got left, but this is not the time to roll the dice and take risk under normal circumstances. Now, maybe when you're 20s and 30s and 40s, you've got plenty of time, so you might have a more aggressive strategy. Then I've got people that are semi-competent as investors and say, hey, I want to take half of my money or a third of my money and take it into things that might pay a little bit more. But let's take the rest of it and make it extremely safe. So we want to look at different strategies. So what I try to do is divide money into three different categories: extremely safe, and some risk, and then maybe
aggressive.
Mm-hmm. And you have to look and say, hey, is this the way I want to go? I have people flat out say, Joe, I just don't want to take any risk. What can I do? But I can't stand being in the bank making a half of 1% or less. Say, well, there's debt instruments that are paying 5 and 6%. Don't get greedy. 5 or 6 is a really good number. And when you're dealing with utilities and debt instruments, these are good, good, good vehicles. And everything that I do and I try to teach people about are liquid, meaning I can get in today and I can get out tomorrow if need be. So there's education is what we're here to do, whether it's taxes, whether it's insurance, whether it's the law, whether it's investing, real estate, mortgages. I wish Mike was here today too, because I'm sure in today's marketplace, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff happening with houses and foreclosures and deedbacks with storms. You know, that's just another thing that does happen.
You know, Joe, another thing is people, human nature, they like to put it in and leave it alone. Put it on autopilot and just let it go. And it should be rebalanced at least yearly, no? Wouldn't you say once a year you should rebalance?
You got to look at it and say, hey, am I achieving what I'm trying to do? How am I protected? How much time have I got? When I look at people today that say, hey, Joe, I want to go into a S&P 500 mutual fund straight up right now. And I'll say, why do you want to do that? Well, it's made 10, 12, 14% so far this year. Uh-huh. You know, it doesn't do that every year. And normally what happens is if something does too well for too long a period of time, it does what's called correct.
Right.
And then it might come down 10 or 12.
So if you're buying at the top, you'll be sorry.
Yeah. So now, on the other hand, if the time horizon is 20 or 30 years long,
you could take a dip one down again.
It's going to do up and downs, but the average over a period of a long time is around 10% a year. So that's not really a problem. But back again, you've got to put goal, time horizon, and then add in your age. How much time have I got? I had a fellow walked in the office a few months ago, and he said, Joe, I had $1.4 million, down to $1 million with my broker. And I said, what happened? He says, I don't know, but I'm down $400,000. And I said, wow, what'd your broker say? And he said, well, give me some time and I'll get it back. And he says, I'm 80.
Oh,
how much time do you think I've got? You know, when you're past your shelf life, you know, you're
that's true.
You start to think. So you're going to think through different eyes at different points. Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, which is not enough time to now, you call the radio station anytime, 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. They'll take your name and number, and whoever you want to talk to in our group, we will make sure they get a hold of you. And by the way, if anybody falls through the cracks that we did not, because we're not perfect, you know, I always say, last time I walked on water,
it was frozen.
So if we do make a mistake, we're not doing it on purpose. We are here to help, and we say we're going to help people, we will. And sometimes things fall through the cracks. So call us back. Don't feel bad about doing that. 1-888-221-8990. Alan, final words.
It's about time to say goodbye, but I just want to say that if you go to a different city in a hurricane, also have a prescription with you, because you may run out of meds, and the doctor may not be available because he's gone and you don't know where he went.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
All right, we were told stop. We're off. We're done.
God bless you. Thank you until next week.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
to know you, 'cause only you can satisfy. I long to touch you.